get right into it. It is week two, and it is the Fantastic Fantasy Primer Season 3, Episode 78. Dan Klaskins, James Adams back with you after a wild and wacky week one of action. We've got a reset. Get ready for the week ahead. Talk about some of the things to coming out of last week's matchup. And most importantly, stay focused on what's important. That's winning some cash, winning your league, whatever it is. And James, I mean, week one, we talk about it all the time. You get so excited. You're all like, oh my goodness, I can't wait for it to start. And then it starts and all these terrible things happen. And suddenly you're feeling awful. And you're like, what did I wait all summer for in some cases? But that's how it felt for some fans. Lots of things to talk to. But week one, win or lose, we survived. We're here. And guess what? There's a new slate of games, my friend.
Yeah, week one's kind of when all those hopes and dreams come crashing down. You go, oh, that's right. There is 11 other teams in this league. Oh, that's right. It is a 50-50 proposition that I'm going to win my matchups. But you know what? If you can come to grips with that ahead of time, you know, there was still a lot of fun to be had in week one. And, you know, there was definitely a lot of, I don't know. I think things will look back and go, that was an anomaly, just like we have in seasons past. And I think it's definitely time to keep your head cool at this point, not freak out over 1 week of happenings, whether it's, you know, guys that just weren't ready to go because of the way preseason's handled right now, or even just tough matchups. I think it's not to steal a phrase from that one quarterback, but it probably is time for a lot of people to relax a little bit.
That was funny. I was thinking of the same transition there. So great minds think alike. Absolutely. In the sense here, at the end of the day, even if it was just brutal week one for you and everything you thought didn't happen. I mean, it is just 1 week. There's time to shake it off. I do think there's no blanket thing to do, though. In some cases, I think what we saw in week one was definitively a hint of what's going to come. And I think in other cases, well, you know, we just sort of shake it off and move on because we still have the confidence in these dudes. We drafted them for a reason. So you got to take it really each one of those on its side. But injuries, the injury bug always bites every week. First week of the season certainly had its fair share of it. We'll dive into that here. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We love our new listeners, our loyal ones too. Be sure to keep up by subscribing wherever you listen. InsiderFootball.com, that's our season-long tools. Also to help you in, some great deals there on the touchdown package. If you missed out on that, you can still get all of our season-long stuff with the DFS lineup optimizer and such. And help even on your prop bets like it did me last week. But anyway, James, as we get into things here, Tuesday we'll be coming on the podcast. Saturday, of course, over on SiriusXM Fantasy, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, where we'll dive deeper into injuries and more game time decisions. But James, as we talk about it here, man, injuries certainly the headline. We'll get to all of them. But in general, you know, week one takeaways. Let's start with some good surprises. Team, player, whatever. I mean, what really stood out to you from a surprising standpoint?
How good Tua and the Miami Dolphins can be in that very funneled towards one or two outlets can be. I mean, for them to do that on the road against a team that looks like a Super Bowl competitor, you know, Tua was a guy that, look, I'll slap myself on the back for this one because I had some swing and misses that are already evident too, but he was going late and I kept saying, look, this was an MVP candidate going into week three. Then the concussions hit. If he can avoid the concussions, big if, we have no idea what's going to go on. He could still be an MVP competitor again, who you're getting as like QB 11 sometimes off the board. And then of course, you know, I was bullish on Tyreek and his season long yardage prop of being the yardage leader. And from the good is, I mean, how good could – maybe Tyreek Hill should have been number one off the board. Not that Justin Jefferson wasn't very good in his own right, but my goodness, how good that Miami offense can just look. And it's like, how do you not stop it? He's thrown it to two guys. I mean, Durham Smythe was the third leading receiver on that team, a player I only know of because of like trying to do 28-man roster research, and yet that Miami offense just – what the heck, dude? That was one that certainly surprised me in the positive.
Yeah, can back up that. Absolutely. I'll take a couple teams. I mean, I end up losing money on it, but I don't know if I would call it good, but good surprises, definitely from a football perspective. How about the Rams and the Bucks? Two teams I dismissed, especially the Rams. They knocked me out of my got cute with my $100 survivor pick, which I always do in week one. I try to get something low out there because I expect something weird to happen, right? I mean, whatever. Roll the dice, take your chances. It didn't work out, but dude, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about some of these players that surprised from the Rams in our waiver wire. But at the end of the day, Matthew Stafford wrote off for dead by me and everybody else in fantasy. He certainly for 1 week had a pulse, James. And the Bucs, I mean, defense did it. I mean, I didn't get the numbers I wanted out of Rashad White, but they get a victory, man. A tough one on the road. So Baker did just enough there. But from a fantasy perspective, a couple good surprises. Jacoby Myers. I mean, I know he got dinged up on that concussion, but we thought that he could be a little bit more involved. Dude already had more touchdowns as a Raider. I think he did one whole season there when I had him on my team a couple years ago with the Patriots. So
that's accurate.
Really liking that. And you got to talk about a good surprise too, James. I mean, how couldn't we talk about one of the best surprises, really, I think, in the way the Packers performed. I mean, Jordan Love, Romeo Doubs, we got talked up a little bit earlier in the preseason. Bill Huber, we knew Christian Watson was out. I did try to make that into my little four late afternoon DFS stuff, but I didn't connect it with the right things there. But, man, Jordan Love, tell you right now, dude, he's out there in a lot of waiver wires. I'm not saying it in one quarterback leagues he's a guy you must go get, but, man, if he's your QB2 in Superflex, you waited a little long, you're feeling pretty good about that Packer passing attack after 1 week.
Are you? Or are you feeling terrible about the Bears? I'm not sure that I am. And, look, Jordan Love looked very good, and they did that without Watson, and Dobbs proved to maybe be that receiver when they need a couple of yards, and if that means a lot of catches to get the
chains maybe the Bears think. But, dude, the schedule, look at the Packers. That's one of the reasons I like the offense to begin with. The schedule's very favorable.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to play the Vikings, who have a terrible defense, twice as well. So there's no question about that. From a fantasy perspective, one that I thought was really interesting and maybe exciting, Mac Jones. I mean, look, he's a player that I have in some super flex leagues as QB2. Well, guess what? He was my QB1 this week. In fact, in one league, he was even on my bench behind Danny Dimes. So I guess it's going to be part of the conversation here in just a second. But now that they have a coordinator, how good does that offense look in New England? Because they started out.
A coordinator helps, dude. A coordinator's healthy at those things.
It's apparently coaching does help. I think we could go back to like just covering local high school, and you know how big of a difference coaching is versus talent. Usually it's coaching over talent. Obviously there's talent that can supersede all things, but how good does Mac Jones look this year with coaching against an Eagles defense that's supposed to be good? I know they were at home, a lot of energy with the Tom Brady celebration, but to come out of that hole too, I thought that was from a fantasy perspective, very impressive. And is it Kendrick Bourne? I mean, look, Hunter Henry can't create a lot of space, but he can catch any ball that's within a foot of his, you know, that he can grab. He was catching everything. So maybe there's one too, because you think there's probably going to need to be some points against teams like Tua and the Bills and such. So that was a very surprising fantasy plus. Is, I mean, how good New England went. I think Jones threw the ball 54 times, over 300 yards.
I mean, dude, there were a ton of them for sure. We're just highlighting a few here. Let's talk about some bad surprises. Fantasy-wise, team-wise, obviously our Bungles laid an egg.
Yeah, that wasn't a big surprise, though, to me.
It wasn't a surprise. Honestly, I was thinking they were going to get beat, the thing was, I didn't hope it would be that bad. Obviously, weather was a factor, but really, from a fantasy standpoint, the whole team was duds there, man. And, I certainly have a lot of exposure to Burrow at quarterback. James, I actually got him in four of my 10 season longs, which wasn't necessarily a plan, but he kept falling and I kept taking. And I'm still all fine with all the Bengals. But you look at some of these other offenses, maybe you're got some question marks that maybe be more permanent thing. Right now, I'll tell you one guy that, gosh, I was all in on Khalil Herbert, and I still love the talent, but seeing Roschon Johnson get that type of workload right out of the gate, I mean, six catches, seven jinx targets, five carries. You got Foreman getting a mix. This is a three-headed monster, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great for the Bears, but not good for me, hoping Khalil Herbert was my anchor RB, RB2 guy that fell, right? But, dude, definitely a bad surprise, too. I mean, you look at the Giants. I mean, I know you've been down on the Daniel Jones. I've obviously been a little more optimistic. Now, Dallas's defense is pretty amazing.
Yes.
But, dude, at this point, like, I mean, you know, you're invested in Jones and Barkley and Waller. Those guys aren't going anywhere. But, dude, I can't imagine in just a 16-team redraft where you can argue many Giants receivers are even roster-worthy right now.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, first of all, the quarterback's abysmal. They don't really block very well. They have no real direction on offense. Like, And I know, look, I mean, I was already this way with Daniel Jones, and I have so many flyers of the Slaytons and the Hyatts and the Paris Campbells, and in 20 person roster leagues, I'm still considering whether or not there's any upside to keeping them. That was an abomination. That's a bad football team, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, it will get better. I mean, that's rock bottom right out of the gate, right? I mean,
is it going to get better? Let's take a look at this, because you want to be excited about the Dallas Cowboys. They didn't put up very many offensive yards, and yes, I know they scored on defense, they scored on special teams, but to that point, that created more time of possession for the Giants to be abysmal, and they could never do anything. I mean, it wasn't like Dallas had the ball. I literally turned it off.
I mean, they laid an egg, but the point is
they're bad.
It is one. One game. It's a small sample size. Whatever. All I'm saying is I'm cutting Giants receivers. I'm already cutting bait on them. I mean, I'm holding the other guys based off the draft capital and hoping I'm right next week. But the Bears backfield, dude, the Steelers, all the preseason hype. And I'm not saying I was thinking they were going to win the division or anything, but I was buying in from a fantasy standpoint. Now, granted, a matchup versus the Niners.
Bad matchup.
Terrible matchup here, but dude, now Deontay Johnson, we'll talk about that in the injury report. I mean, he's out for a few games. I was thinking Najee Harris would get volume, but obviously Warren is cutting right into that.
They were behind so early. Warren didn't do anything with his catches.
None of them really
Najee was
did,
more productive like, running the ball. I'm
coming
not
out of that
matchup Najee,
yes. Not very excited about rubber stamping any Steelers here in week two versus the Browns.
I'd be hard pressed to argue with that. Najee Harris would still be in lineups, and
I'm not saying he won't, but I'm just saying like this. No, team, I hear you. This team was the hype train got rolling a little bit fast on the Steelers here, coming down the stretch run, I think. And
I'm with you.
All right, let's get into the buzz kills of the week, dude. The injuries, and James, I still can't get over 24 hours later as we bring the broadcast here. To Aaron Rodgers and the way this all has unfolded. And I mean, you know, I'm not a Jets fan. I don't hate the Jets or anything. I have no interest in the Jets but it's like, can you imagine just being a Jets fan who's been hyped up all summer long for this savior and then to see it four plays and even Rodgers? I mean, I don't like the guy. I'm not invested in any of him. I've got him in the do good fantasy where I punt it. QB and he was my QB1. I think that's the only play. So, but dude, how terrible is this? I mean, it just woke up today and I felt bad. I mean, it's just like this hangover from this injury and to see a legend that would potentially have his career end and then the Jets to go in so much and get four plays out of it. I mean, to me, this is just also, I'm still in disbelief over all of it.
Whatever nightly news is on ABC, I think David Muir was talking about this. Like, it's taken on a thing above sports, probably as much to do because of his personality and, of course, the fact that it happens in New York. Here's the deal. I don't like Rodgers. I'm mostly disappointed because I wanted to watch this thing blow up in his face. And now the worst thing is when he comes back next year, because of the way I'm wired, I'll have to cheer for him because then it's the comeback from injury story. And I don't want to have to cheer for him. So this just stinks all around. Terrible for Garrett Wilson. Pretty much put Tyler Conklin on my drop list if you know, I need something else at tight end, and I wasn't turning into him as a starter in place of Andrews.
And I got him in so many spots as my tight end, too.
He's probably – look, I'm not saying just drop him for no good reason, and there's nothing on the tight end waiver wire to go out and get him, but it certainly doesn't make you feel good about starting him when guys go down.
The Jets did get a win here. They still have a good defense. They've got two running backs that I know Cook looked a little rusty last night, but, man, Breece Hall, you got to be inspired by that. So
I don't think you do, Dan. It was straight line running. I need to see him cut laterally to feel good about that knee.
Well,
so I'm going to be buzzkill Betty right here, but I'm sticking with that.
I hear you. I mean,
you still look great in that straight line 80-yard run. You still look great on that play.
All I'm saying is – don't write the team off altogether, but definitely temper your fantasy expectations for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they'll run the ball now even more than they did.
Yeah. They're going to be in some games. I'm not sitting here telling you, I mean, I didn't think they were going to win the division or go to the Super Bowl to begin with. So, but I mean, you know, they're not going to just be pushovers here. So,
Agree.
In terms of some of these other injuries, though, let's get in. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's gone. You're cutting bait there. Anthony Richardson, we saw him take the knee. And James, I was watching that game actually in real time on that drive. Richardson was on my dud list last week because I wanted to wait and see. Well, I saw he won't be on dud list again, dude.
He's probably going to work his way into starting lineups next week, even against what I would consider probably not a great matchup because I'm thinking low scoring. But I'd say this. He completed more passes than I thought he would have.
He needs to. I mean, he definitely needs to smarten up and not take these type hits, though, because his season's going to be cut short pretty quick.
That's correct.
The way he was just, I mean, it was a hurry up offense and he just kept running like running back. And after like seven plays, you about die out there in the NFL field. And I was impressed. I mean, certainly. I mean, again, I've never questioned the talent. I did question some of the makeup with the Colts, but heck, they hung there with the Jags. So Richardson, certainly a guy that won me over. The other Achilles injury of the week, other than Rodgers, J.K. Dobbins and James. I mean, talk about a player that seems jinxed. Dobbins here, another injury ending the season early, very early in this case. And we talked about it in our breakdowns on the podcast and on Sirius. I mean, durability injury concerns was a thing here. I mean, those are the reasons I wasn't as high on Dobbins as others because I was concerned about that, but there was no doubt. I mean, he was going to be a focal point. And I was even watching that game before he got hurt thinking, man, maybe I shouldn't have dismissed Dobbins for these things so quickly. Cause I mean, he was looking like the man and now he's out for the season and who knows?
He was headed for 102 touchdowns. He was headed for 102.
Who knows if he'll ever even play with the Ravens again. He's going to be a free agent here. So at the end of the day, let's first talk about the Ravens running attack post Dobbins and what your expectations are.
My expectations are that you're never going to get it right when you try to guess between Edwards and Hill. Hill wasn't as productive with the ball, but got the two touchdowns yesterday. Edwards was more productive in the yards per carry term. I don't think you're going to end up wanting to turn to either one all the time. We might really see them force Lamar to throw the ball, but he wasn't exactly great at it last this season.
Well, they got Melvin Gordon in the mix. Who knows? He could get involved, although, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, he's useless, but he could even take away more.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hello, Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt. I mean, it's only a matter of time for one of these dudes gets a call from somebody, so...
Probably
it's a situation to develop. I would definitely rather take a stab on the waiver wire of a guy that I saw play last week for a team than try to add Fournette or Hunt.
Same here.
So, but at the end of the day, the Ravens now once again dealing with, and it's not just Dobbins. I mean, they got injured across the board. Mm-hmm. With key offensive line, defensive players alike. I mean, they are hobbling into their week two matchup here in Cincinnati. Austin Eckler, he was dinged up with an ankle. We want to keep our eyes on him. Aaron Jones with a hamstring as well. We mentioned Deontay Johnson was hit with his hamstring. They've come out and said it's going to be a few weeks here, James. And obviously you're holding on Johnson, I would imagine, in a spot in a league where you don't have IR and you have to hold it. You're going to hold it because bye weeks haven't started and you're hoping it's a few week thing here. But how does this impact Pickett and Pickens and their fantasy outlook with Johnson now sidelined?
And yeah, I think they're a bye week six too. So, I mean, wouldn't be shocking to see them use that bye week for an extra 2 weeks as they do. So keep that in mind. But I'm probably holding on to them in all formats pretty much. What does it do for Pickett and Pickens? Well, it depends on what the attitude is from Pickens. Mike Tomlin, I would like to see Mike Tomlin get in that young man's face a little bit, but I'm not a Steelers fan, so maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. As a football person, I would. I don't know, man. Maybe Kenny Pickett just wasn't worth that first-round pick that he was selected with last year. I mean, we've been a couple years without a real true stud quarterback coming out, and maybe Anthony Richardson does change my opinion on that coming out this year. But to this point, it's what it's proved seems to be, or the opinion, however you want to say it. The deal is, at this point, I mean, Kenny Pickett, dude, can you start him in a Superflex league?
I mean,
you're going to start him against the Browns next week. He's not going to be a top 24 quarterback. So Kenny Pickett is out of the conversation and starting in almost any format there is. Pickens, I mean, I would say high end flex, like wide receiver four. Maybe he's still a wide receiver three, but I mean, he finds his way into being disinterested. And in a game where, I mean, the Browns defensive backs, we watched that game start to finish last week. Their defensive backs looked amazing against Chase and Higgins. I want nothing to do with them this week. And frankly, I'm not really all that excited about any of it as far as high-end ceiling because, I mean, Kenny Pickett was a reach by the Steelers to get the extra year by making him a first-round pick and getting the hometown guy, but I never liked the pick. I still don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to write it off altogether. The 49ers are a brutal matchup. I mean, the injury to Johnson is the biggest thing here that is a bummer. But I'm still holding out hope for my pick and shares and Pickett and Superflex still being a thing. We shall see. At tight end, Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, James, two of the top guys off the board, those early picks, both missing week one. As of right now, as we talk here tonight, we don't have a ton of information. I'd say Kelsey's probably on the good side of questionable. Andrews looking a little more dicey, but man, when you spend this type of draft capital on tight end, missing week one is a tough pill to swallow, my friend.
Especially when, I mean, when I drafted Kelce, I think their bye week's week 10. I didn't even draft a backup.
Yeah.
So that happened. That makes it even more difficult because now it's like, all right, people have already sifted through the Tyler Higbees and all these other tight ends that I would have preferred to use that fell flat on their face too.
All right. The other tight end news here, Greg Dulcich looks like he's going to miss a few weeks here with the hamstring. Adam Trautman was already getting talked up here. He's Sean Payton's guy. At this point, redraft, you can drop Dulcich. I wouldn't hold that spot. I would.
And Trautman might have a role there.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. Let's get over to the waiver wire. Head there. We've talked through these injuries. Obviously, those will have an impact in the report. But let's start at the quarterback position, James. And obviously, I know depending on if it's a super flex or one QB has a lot to do with it. Shallower leagues, obviously, some more guys available. But I would imagine that there's some Aaron Rodgers people out there that are looking for quarterback for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So it will be a priority for some. Is, you know, I mentioned Jordan Love. He's probably out there in quite a few leagues. I would definitely say, and a lot of 12-team, one QB leagues, he's a player mm-hmm. that's available. Certainly in shallower leagues, you might be even looking at a guy like a Jared Goff still sitting there. I mean, Sam Howell showed me enough where
they've got a really tough schedule coming up.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking more long-term with him. In the short term, if you really are in a shower league, Derek Carr's the guy I like. I mean, that schedule is pretty favorable here these next few weeks.
Matthew Stafford's probably finding himself available in a lot of places. And look, I hesitate to say this, Dan, but maybe Cooper Kupp was a product of Matthew Stafford because these receivers we're going to talk about both look really good. And Cooper Kupp's one good year was when Stafford was delivering to the football regularly. So maybe Stafford is the quarterback that you need to keep your eyes on. And oh, by the way, I mean, I know it's, you know, just media chatter, but there's conversation if the Rams were to pull the plug. I don't know what they would at 1-0. He could end up in a trade to the Jets where then he'd be thrown to Garrett Wilson and company. So Stafford to me is my number one priority out there with Mac Jones.
Yeah, that is interesting. Stafford trade it to the Jets.
I got rained out from work today. I've had the TV on all day.
Well, I mean, they were looking desperately to try to find a trade ticker for him 2 weeks ago, at least allegedly, reportedly. All right, let's get to
Flex, Zach Wilson, how much are you spending on him? I don't know if I am.
I can tell you, in a league where we have $100 in our Do Good Fantasy League, I punted quarterback. It was a strategy, and I ended up with Rodgers, Jordan Love, and Bryce Young. So now I just have the latter of the two. Zach Wilson is the best free agent available. I will not spend more than I'm not going more than $7-8 on the guy. I don't even care to get him.
I think that's
I'll save it for the next injured quarterback, dude.
I don't think that's a bad move. I'm kind of with you.
I mean, I'll go a little bit. And if nobody else, but it, I mean, somebody's going to give more than $8 probably. That's about the most I'm going because, dude, you only got $100.
And you don't know that he's going to be the guy. I mean, Joe Flacco could come out of retirement.
There's going to be
Ryan
more guys
to get retired. Like,
there's going to be more dudes to get hurt. I know.
That's correct.
That I don't want a piece of that.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Dan.
Honestly, it's a super flex. So, I mean, I've got two dudes on the bye weeks. I'm loaded at the other positions, obviously, because I punt at quarterback. So I think I can get through and save my fab for a guy I'm a little more excited about.
I think it's a good move. And we're not in the same league. So it's not like we'd be bidding against each other.
All right, so let's get to the wide receivers here. I mean, the guy with everybody's talking about, Puka Nacua here, going off looking like Cooper Kupp in his own right. He caught 10 balls, 15 targets, 119 yards. We mentioned Stafford being dialed in. Him and even teammate Tutu Atwell, now here in his second season, wasn't quite as much involved, but also had 119 yards, six catches here. The biggest takeaway I have from this discussion is Van Jefferson really didn't have any fantasy value after all.
Disappointing.
Yeah, and even our guy Tyler Higbee.
But I like them both.
But even our guy Tyler Higbee didn't do as well as we thought because we didn't think these guys would step up. But so Puka Nacui's out there in a ton of league. James, here's a guy. It's all really based off how bad you need receiver, because mm-hmm. I am of the belief that we will see Cooper Kupp in week five. And, we can bet against it all we want. But if that's the case, if Cooper Kupp is back as expected here, mm-hmm. if it's an optimistic outlook, a month from now, this isn't going to look like anything close to what we saw here. And there's the matchup versus Seattle without half their secondary. Also, things are going to get a little tougher. They got the Bengals and the 49ers and some other teams in these upcoming weeks. So 20% is max I'm going, unless I'm really desperate. Maybe I go 30% of my fab. He is my top receiver this week, but I'm likely not going to get him.
What about Kendrick Bourne with the Patriots? He's on some waiver wire. some waiver wires. And wow.
Yeah. 11 targets, 52 routes run. I saw those numbers and was like, what? I'm thinking about dropping Juju, dude.
And they threw the ball 54 times. So maybe Parker comes back and eats into some of that. But this is a team. And again, they came in a big deficit because of the early interception for a touchdown. But Kayshon Boutte was on the field for a ton. So, maybe Parker replaces him. Bourne stays in the same role. I think his role has staying power here.
Yeah, Nacua is definitely my top. Bourne's on my list. Dobbs I like better than both of them, though, if he's available, because I think he is going to be around the whole season. And yeah, Watson's going to come back, and he's the playmaker, but Dobbs is going to lead this team in receptions. And
if he's available in your league,
So I like him. I got him probably around the same range, actually. I'd probably go about 20% on him, probably just a tick. I don't know. I guess
I'd be surprised
Nacua.
If he's available in many leagues.
Yeah, he's not available in many leagues as Nacua, but definitely my dude that I drafted. If you're in my league, he's not available. But Nico Collins is a guy I'm seeing on some of these waiver wire reports. He lived up to early
Robert
expectations.
Woods was involved.
I'm going to leave him out there, as I will Darnell Mooney. I'm glad I have the best ball shares of both. But those are it for receivers. Jaden Reed is another stash there with the Packers. I think you could put him away for a rainy day. But let's get to running backs, James. Tyler Algier in shallower leagues is going to be a hot pickup, and a guy that I was talking up all summer, James. Definitely liked him. I felt like he could potentially be a flex type of player if this offense did what Arthur Smith wanted it to do. And it certainly looked like it in week one. Now, I do expect Robinson to get more and more involved, but he's the guy that's going to catch the ball and be the target machine. This guy's going to get 12 to 15 carries a week, if I'm right here, James. And if that's the case, he is the best running back to bid on if he's available in your league, even ahead of guys like Kenneth Gainwell and some of these other players who had a nice volume this week.
I'm with you. I actually started him in a flex spot in the league this week and was rewarded well beyond what I deserved, but I had Daniel Jones too, so whatever, good for me. I would say this, Dan, the one thing that we maybe missed early in the program, fantasy disappointments, it plays into this Tyler Algier conversation is, 18 passes for the Falcons, and I know they won. Des Ridder was 15 for 18. They're running the football. Six of those completions went to Bijan Robinson, by the way.
Yeah.
Long handoff. And Drake they London. Are going to run the football.
Drake London had as many fantasy points as James Adams.
And T. Higgins. I actually tied the two of them and Dallas Goedert. Unfortunately, I was somehow still left out in best ball.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But to that point, I think Algier can be a play.
Algier and Gainwell in shallower leagues are options. I like him a tick over. You got to go a little deeper here. We got guys like Kyren Williams. We got Joshua Kelly, Roschon Johnson, Gus Edwards now on this list, James. We can throw even in Jerome Ward if you want to get into just some deeper names here. Who of those guys is worth the most and what you bid on them?
I would say Roschon Johnson is worth the most after you probably go Algier, but honestly, I'd put Roschon with Algier in that same tier. Then to me, it's Kyren Williams. He was more effective than Cam Akers in a winning.
I'm not going to bail on Akers altogether, but I'm certainly buying into Williams being worth the fab bid here. I'd be willing to go 15 to 20% on him, which is in line with what I would say Gainwell. Again, Algier, I think, is even higher. I'm with you on Roschon Johnson, but I actually favor him the third in the order there. Mm-hmm. Joshua Kelly, I think, is interesting here. And we already know Eckler's dinged up. It's a minor ankle injury. I'm not expecting it to be a big thing here, but man, if the Chargers offense is good here, this is a cheaper version of, I mean, it's not a run first offense, but I think there's enough value there for Kelly to certainly be worth it, being a nice guy to have on your bench and maybe a bye week filler at some point this season, even in standalone opportunities.
Gosh, that's the best performance we've seen from Kelly ever.
Yeah, but I mean, they've the depth chart. I mean, he definitely had a good preseason here, and
he's worth keeping an eye on. He's clearly the handcuff for Eckler. It's just that I remember investing on him as a rookie, and I've kind of followed it, and we've never seen this kind of performance until this game.
He's definitely evolved. The buzz has been good. I think he's worth being an RB5. That's fair. At tight end, I mean, the rookie tight end's getting all the buzz, but they're not available in many leagues because guys like me were drafting them. And Luke Musgrave, obviously a hot name out there. We saw him, you know, high ceiling. He definitely has it, but just 3 catches, but did get 50 yards. He led the Packers in routes run, though, with 22. So he's certainly worth bidding on. We know Hunter Henry got in the end zone. But what I really like, besides the touchdowns here, James, Hunter Henry, 38 routes at just 23 for Gesicki. Hunter Henry on the bounce back here, as if you punted on tight end and waited to the very end. I think he's a guy that you might have hit with, my friend.
Zach Ertz with 10 targets. I mean, if you're in leagues where he was just ignored because of the expectation that he wouldn't be ready or be worth anything, we're in a bad offense. He might dominate targets week in and week out on a team that's vying for 0-17. So yeah. Put Zach Ertz.
Even though he only had 21 yards, dude had 6 catches. So in PPR, you're like, okay, I'll take it.
There was not a tight end. TJ Hockenson had 8 catches for 30
something
yards.
I will say that. Conversely, if you drafted Trey McBride and redraft, you can go ahead and cut him.
Absolutely. You sure can. I mean, honestly, you can cut him in Dynasty if you're
Dynasty. In Dynasty, you got 30 men on your roster, whatever. I mean, you're not cutting Trey McBride, but he's certainly in redraft. Yeah, see ya. I mean, but if I'm cutting Dulcich because he's hurt for 3 weeks, I'm definitely cutting Trey McBride.
I think we're missing the one other player here at tight end. And by the way, don't overreact. All tight ends stunk this week, so it's okay to just stand pat and not make any moves. But Hayden Hurst, you got a rookie quarterback who targeted him 7 times. They're probably going to be losing more games than they're winning. I think Hayden Hurst probably gives you a floor. And if you're panicking over, you know, player A, Y, or that's not even how you say it, A, B, or C, then maybe Hayden Hurst, if you say, okay, just give me the floor of 4 catches.
You need the touchdowns, though, because he just doesn't have big catches. I mean, the dude only had 8.4 air yards per target. I mean, that's very low. So if he doesn't get in the end zone, I mean, 7 targets, all right, 4 catches, 30 yards. I mean, his ceiling without the touchdown is, I mean, he is what he is. That's
the same thing to Zach. You say the same thing about Zach Ertz. I'm going to say the same thing about TJ Hockenson. Who's just going to get more catches. I mean,
I hear you. It's basically
the same thing about that on over tight end, dude.
I'm just on waiver wire. I mean, Hayden Hurst, if I need tight end, I mean, okay, I guess.
What did I say before I said that? I said you should probably stand pat and not make any move, but if you're looking for a floor guy, there's a floor guy with a rookie QB. You did preface
it, man. I'm jumping your crap erroneously. I'm not even jumping your crap, dude. I'm just trying to transition into week 2 matchups. Let's get into some predictions. We'll end it like we will each week, James. A quick run around, early looks, just quick takes on the games ahead for week 2. And it was definitely a fun week 1. It wasn't all terrible. Definitely a lot of fun and enjoying things. And I can't wait to this week's action. We have a lot of more good games on tap, including a Monday Night Football doubleheader. So let's start with Thursday night's game, though. That's where Philadelphia is hosting Minnesota. The Eagles, a 7-point favorite. The total was at 48 at last check. And, James, the Eagles survive a tough one there in New England. Offensively, I mean, it didn't really click all that great. Hurts, a bit of a down game. The receivers, obviously, I know Smith did okay. But, I mean, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert really came up empty. This is a big bounce back opportunity, though, for, in my opinion, Minnesota's defense. I'm not overly impressed. I know that they did all right last week versus Baker Mayfield. They're going to struggle a little bit here. So call it a bounce back, man. I am not even hesitating getting any of those Eagles pieces in there. That's the backfield I don't want any piece of, because Gainwell's dinged up. It's on a Thursday night game. What are they going to do? Activate Boston Scott? Sorry for all those Rashad Penny people that were hoping for him to be the guy. He was a healthy scratch. And DeAndre Swift looked like dog doo-doo. I mean, I'm not cutting him, but no way can he be near a lineup. So As much as I love the Eagles this week, I can't get behind anything unless Gainwell goes maybe as a flex option. Love the passing pieces. What's your thoughts on the Vikings against this tough Eagles D?
Cousins going to be a start every week. If Mac Jones could do it against that defense, Cousins can do it against that defense. You'll never sit Hockenson. You'll never sit Jefferson. I am not interested in the running game. So Madison, to me, is he's not in my lineup. And at the best, he's RB24 any week. Like, didn't look good last week. Isn't going to look any better this week against that Philly front, even though they are a little banged up. And then Addison, I think you could think about playing him this week, depending on what your options are.
Moving ahead to Sunday's slate, a slew of 1 o'clock games, 7 of them, I believe, on tap, including one, James, I'm looking forward to being at as the Bengals open up at home versus Baltimore. And in this contest, the Bengals, despite the loss and how bad they looked, the line remained where it opened at, -3.5. The totals dropped a point to 46.5. And we talk about the injuries, obviously, for the Ravens, a factor here. Cincinnati, as bad as it looked in week one, come out of the game mostly healthy, James, which is the one plus of week one's disappointment. But here they are at home, and suddenly I think the Bengals facing pretty much a must win here. You don't want to fall two games back versus Baltimore. I mean, I realize they started 0-2 this year. The schedule definitely eases up, but coming at home here, I'm not going to hesitate to start any of the Bengals. Not tempering my expectations like I did a week ago with Burrow. Now, that is a pretty tough defense, but they're already missing some key pieces here. Mixon, based off volume alone, is going to maintain his value as a solid RB2 play in just about any format. And Irv Smith didn't do enough. I mean, he's not rosterable unless you carry two tight ends. Certainly not a lineup piece. So you're starting your Bengals, you would, and you're expecting better things. What do you think Lamar Jackson's going to do, though, against this Bengals D?
You drafted Lamar, you'll start him. That's the way it's going to be until further notice. I'm not starting anything else in their running game besides Lamar. Andrew's clearly in if he plays. Zay Flowers, the only receiver I would dare play for the Ravens. And I wouldn't have said that a week ago, but
dude, that was a nice guy. That was a guy I was getting as my wide receiver 5 in a couple late drafts and not really expecting much, but dang, I came out of week one excited about it.
I'll tell you what, versus what you saw from the other rookie receivers, in particular Addison, who got in the end zone, had 4 catches. He did it in a game where his quarterback threw for over 300 yards. Zay Flowers did it as the dominant receiving piece where his quarterback didn't look good. So I'm more excited right now, I think, about Flowers than Addison because of how he exerted himself in that game, whereas Addison was just along for the ride in a big passing game.
Yeah, I can get behind it, brother. Any other thoughts there on the Ravens?
Nah.
Yeah,
I won't touch the run game.
We'll see Mark Andrews. Hopefully he gets back there. Beckham and Bateman in deeper leagues, I guess you're keeping them on the bench. You can't put those guys in anytime soon. No. So let's move along to another 1 o'clock game. This one's a good one, James. One I'm really looking forward to. The Chiefs coming off that opening loss. They're laying 2.5 as they travel to Jacksonville. The total's at 51. The Jaguars struggling a little bit more than I thought they would at Indy, but nonetheless come away victorious and certainly had some positive signs on offense. Let's let you break down the home team in this one. Talk a little bit about the Jags in this matchup.
Zay Jones, if you're looking for upside, and this is a matchup you would, Christian Kirk, I think, has to be on benches until future notice because it's the Calvin Ridley show. And when you look at the way the pecking order went in those targets, Christian Kirk appears third to me, even though we didn't draft him as such. I mean, obviously, you're going to start Lawrence in this matchup, and you're going to start ETN. Bigsby will have to work his way into my lineup from here on out. So, and then obviously Ingram is what he is in the tight end universe.
We got Las Vegas at Buffalo. The Bills, a 9.5-point favorite. The total is at 48, and that line is dropping a little bit after their loss. But Buffalo is a team here that capable of big things on offense. We didn't get to see it in that opening matchup there against the Jets. But Josh Allen coming off a terrible game. Now he gets to come home and he gets a Raiders defense. It's going to have its challenges here. I mean, they've been dealing with a little bit of injuries, but they're going to really have to try to get some pressure on them. I think from the Buffalo standpoint here, I mean, obviously Allen is a starter. I think I saw enough out of James Cook. I'm still leaving him in as a weekly RB2 play. I like the upside of the offense, even if we didn't see it. Clearly Diggs is in there. Dalton Kincaid, James, I know you're against the rookies, but he got enough volume for me that, you know, he's still probably a top 10 or 15 tight end on my board, as it will be Sam Laporta. So I don't like Gabe Davis right now. I have him in a couple spots, was considering him as a flex, but this is a matchup where it is intriguing. So depending on what you got, you consider it. Las Vegas, I think they're going to struggle in this one. What do you think, James?
I don't think you turn to Jimmy G. He's a back-end QB2 in Superflex. You'll play Jacobs because you have to. You'll play Adams, and I guess maybe Jimmy G has to become a slight consideration with volume because, I mean, if Myers goes, I think you've got to have him in the lineup too now because, especially in PPR, I'm not going to expect, you know, the...
Yeah, Barack because they're playing from behind, right? That makes it even better, right? You're almost
Myers
a 10-point
Myers might
point
be bad
ball.
News for Devontae Adams, really.
I mean, Adams will still get his. He probably isn't a top five guy anymore in terms of production, but he's still a solid back end wide receiver one, at least high end wide receiver two. So I don't think he's going to go.
1,500 yard season might be gone now with Myers in town, though.
That bad Raiders defense is going to allow them a lot of garbage time production. So
that's the truth.
We shall see. We shall see. On the other side of matchups here at the 1 o'clock, Chargers at the Titans and the Chargers at last check, 3.5 point favorite, 45.5 the total. And Tennessee, I mean, Derrick Henry and Tyjae Spears had a pretty even workload, but I wouldn't read too much into that. I mean, definitely more than I saw from Spears, but I do think that part of that was on purpose here. Now, James, I don't have a lot of Derrick Henry. I was sort of off the wagon anyway, but in season long, you're not going to bench the guy. I do think looking at this matchup here, this Chargers defense certainly didn't really impress me too much versus Miami. So I think this could be a game that Derrick Henry actually does something. So I might look at him on some of my rushing props this week. I haven't looked at any of the early props on it, but Henry's a guy I think could have a little bit of a bounce back game here, especially if Tennessee wants to do it. Because they can't pass the ball. Tannehill's terrible. He threw three picks. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, you're going to use him. Burks is still worth a roster spot. I'm not cutting a Conquo despite the donut, but, man, it's tough to think about starting him right now.
You got that donut from other guys like Goddard, too, though.
Not very excited about it, but, again, I think it's a Derrick Henry bounce-back week here a little bit, a lot better than week one. And, you know, you're excited if you got Spears on your bench, but, you know, that's where he should stay is on your bench. The Chargers, though, especially if Eckler's healthy, are going to be a challenge, James.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't think you can turn to Everett anymore at tight end, though. As bad as everything else is at tight end, Donald Parham got the touchdown, and he's been a part of the offense before he was injured, a couple years ago. So I think at this point, the only guys you're trusting are Eckler, Herbert, and Keenan Allen, and you don't trust them, but you play Mike Williams.
Yeah, boom or bust in some of those cases. As we move along, we got Seattle at Detroit. The Lions flying high. They're up to a 6-point favorite in this one. The total's at 49. Seattle couldn't have looked much worse. And I think the Seahawks come into this really with a lot of things to prove to me, James. I mean, Geno Smith, I went out and called him a stud in week one and had him in some DFS lineups and stuff where I was playing him. And, man, it just fell flat there against the Rams and the whole offense. I mean, Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet, I am optimistic about them, but in this matchup where I expect them to be playing from behind, I mean, the total's 49 here. I think that might be a little optimistic. And I'm saying that out of the respect to the Lions defense and playing at home here.
The Lions defense did what they did on Thursday night. They get an extra 3 days to rest.
Yeah, instead of Seattle, I'm just saying, like, offensively, it's like, dude, I'm not starting Geno. Metcalf is in season long, but whatever. Lockett's already hurt, so you're not even thinking about him. Smith Najigba needs to play his way into it. So it really comes down to, is Kenny Walker your RB2/flex this week? Maybe, but I'm not loving it.
You're not loving it. You're absolutely right. If you had somebody else that you could turn to with a better matchup, you would do just that. And, boy, the Lions, I mean, I think you play both of their running backs. The question is, will there be enough volume for anybody else in that offense besides Amon-Ra St. Brown? I know you're going to turn to the tight end. I'm fine with that. I guess the real question would be, would you turn to Jared Goff, which I probably will be.
Indy's at Houston, an AFC South showdown. The Colts favored by a point currently, and the total's at 40. Obviously, we already talked about Anthony Richardson. If he's going to play, I think he does play. He's proved to me he ain't going to be on the dud list anymore for that rushing floor alone. Pretty intriguing passing game. I like the matchup here. The total, I think, is a little bit too low. So, Michael Pittman, James, I mean, I know I was down on him. We had some debate over it. Dang, you look good on that one after 1 week. But I still got you on the Deshaun Watson versus Dak Prescott for a minute. So, we'll do our touchdown dances later in the season, but I got to admit,
Pittman, I don't know there's going to be a touchdown dance in that one.
Pittman looked good.
There might be two losers.
Pittman looked good. It's take your credit that I'm giving.
Thank you.
Pittman looked good. So yeah, you're going to start him again. I like Josh Downs as a waiver wire stash. Even in redrafts here, I like his talent. And as this offense evolves, I think he'll get better. He's nowhere near your lineups though. And in terms of running backs, I'm still going to avoid it. So it's basically a two-player Colts offense. You trust in any of these Texans?
Damian Pierce, I think I'll trust. I think you have to trust Nico Collins, right?
Four for 80 last week. Why not?
If they give you anything close to what Ridley and Etienne gave you, anything close, I think you'd be – I mean, you'd be
so would you in super close. Flex, not that this is a real choice for me, but this week, would you start C.J. Stroud versus in this matchup or Bryce Young, who's going at home versus the Saints?
C.J. Stroud, it's not even close.
There you
go. I might be way wrong on the Young-Stroud conversation. I'm afraid I overreacted on the new Wonderlic test. That might be my week one overreaction, is I'm afraid I've already lost my Stroud-Young conversation. But right now, it's got to be C.J. Stroud.
Oh, all right. Let's keep
going. He handled himself pretty good at Baltimore as a first game ever rookie.
We got a lot to get to. Let's get on to these other 1 o'clocks. Green Bay's at Atlanta. The Packers are a 1-point favorite. The total's 40.5. I've been in on the Falcons. I picked them to win the division. They looked good week one. It was one of my bets of the week. All that worked out. And dude, I think this is going to be a great game. These two teams, in my opinion, are battling for a potential wild card spot here in this matchup, right? I mean, Atlanta and Green Bay, these are fringe playoff teams, young teams with young players with something to prove. But I like the Falcons and the home field advantage. I think this game is going to be a lower scoring affair, somewhere around this total. Definitely from the Falcons side, Bijan staying in your lineup. I don't know about Drake London and Kyle Pitts, but gosh, it's hard for me to imagine benching them in week two.
Particularly Pitts,
because I probably don't have anything else at tight end that is even considerable. But James, you're rolling Tyler Allgeier out as a flex this week, even in this matchup. I think so. And Desmond Ridder, even in Superflex, probably benching him. But the Packers, I know you don't like Jordan Love as much as me, but what are you feeling about this rest of this offense here?
I mean, because I'm thinking under, like, I don't think Love's a starter in one quarterback, but certainly in Superflex. If Aaron Jones goes, I think you got to give him he's playing. If for some reason that hamstring keeps him out, then obviously Dylan probably a must start in fantasy. If Watson goes, I guess you're turning to him, given the way you drafted him. Dobbs with 2 touchdowns last week, but it was possession game receiving. Love didn't have 1,000 yards passing, so I'm tempering my expectations on any of those guys. In a game against the Falcons where it's going to be look at the under on all totals anytime the Falcons take the field.
Yeah. The next one up is Chicago at Tampa Bay. The Bucs are a 3-point favorite. The total's 41.5. And I mean, Baker Mayfield looked pretty decent last week, at least enough to get the win. So I guess he's in super flex conversation. Godwin and Evans in this matchup, certainly in startable consideration as well. I'm sticking with Rashad White here. It was nice to see Trey Palmer and Sean Tucker have, parts of this offense, but they're still bench pieces, even if they're on your roster in deeper leagues. So that's pretty much it for Tampa Bay. How about those Bears?
I guess you're starting Fields if you drafted them, and you cross your fingers. If you drafted DJ Moore, you're doing the exact same thing, not feeling great about any of it. I don't know. Do you want to throw Roschon Johnson in your lineup?
Probably not.
I mean, what about them? How about them Bears? There's two guys that you could start. Maybe you start Kmet because tight end is what it is, but you don't feel good about that either. I don't feel good about any of it.
Now, I'm going to probably start DJ Moore just because I probably need
to. You have to.
And as you said, Field. So I'm with you there. Let's get on to another one. We've got only 4 4-o'clocks this week instead of 5. And we'll start with the Giants at Arizona. The Giants coming off a brutal defeat. We already talked a little bit of it. The Cardinals, well, they're just the Cardinals. They actually played better than I thought. But the total here is 39.5. The Giants, 4.5-point favorites. This game I wouldn't watch if you paid me. Daniel Jones, he's back in play here for me. Barkley is as well. Waller's here. I cut all my Giants receivers. There's really nothing else to talk about. On Arizona's side of it, James, I mean, what are you doing with James Conner and anything else here?
James Conner gets the volume. I'll turn to him and at least roll the dice with the volume he gets versus some other, you know, sketchy RB2s. I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I mean, Ertz at tight end, like I said, if you have to go there, but There's not a receiver, Wilson, Moore, Brown. I don't want none of that.
San Fran's at L.A., the Rams, that is, and the home team is an 8-point dog. The total's at 44. And Cam Akers, it's really hard to start him against San Francisco. If I get Kyren Williams off the waivers, he's probably sitting on my bench, too, outside of Superflex. He can't touch Stafford. And outside the fancy new shiny cars at receivers, I mean, if you get Nacua here in waiver wire this week, you almost have to probably start him based off of his short-term value. And what you
what are your options? Like, I would start him probably over Drake London and say, hey, at least I know he's going to get 10 targets. Yeah,
I mean, in my rankings, he's probably a wide receiver 3.
Yeah. So, okay. I probably agree. There's going to be some volume coming his way.
Yeah. So it is what it is. But there's not much to talk about with the Rams. I'm probably, Higbee's probably a fringe starter, but I'm probably talking myself into going a different direction in this matchup.
Okay, and I certainly won't hate it. Didn't Freiermuth score against the Niners? I don't know that that means anything.
I mean, I'm not saying he's unusable. I'm seeing what my matchups are here.
And I don't think that's foolish. Higbee wasn't drafted to be a must start tight end either. From the Niners' perspective, I mean, I think you just roll with them all, right? If you're using Purdy for whatever standard you have to use him, you're still using him in this matchup. You love Christian McCaffrey. You love the volume McCaffrey had even in a blowout. You might not love it in December if he's not healthy, but it was encouraging to see that they didn't go away from him.
Yeah, I think all that's fair enough. So in terms of Washington at Denver, this one's a little more tricky for me. 3.5, the Broncos are favorite. The total, very similar, a lot of lower totals. This one's 39. Washington squeaked by at home versus the Cardinals. Denver, they look pretty terrible at home versus the Raiders. So here's two teams, James, that didn't really live up to the hype. I'll say for Denver, I mean, Russell Wilson is going to struggle in this matchup too because Washington's going to get after it and present some problems. I do think Javonte is – I started him as a flex last week. I'm starting him as a flex again this week, and I think that I'm feeling okay about what I saw there. Cortland Sutton's a desperation wide receiver 3. Yeah, Troutman might be worth a pickup at tight end, but I can't get behind him. So that's pretty much it, and – Jaleel McLaughlin or whatever that was.
That's coach speak, and that's why you don't believe anything ever.
You can from go ahead NFL and cut him mouth. Again. You can go ahead and cut him again. Samaje Perine, I'm not cutting him, but I don't know if I'm starting him here. Not without many.
He was as productive as Javonte in week one, man. They were equally productive. I mean, he was just as productive.
He's probably an unsexy flex here then as well. So what about these Commanders?
That's a good way to put it. To Commanders, I don't want to start anybody. Hal is a fringy super flex guy. I was very disturbed by the distribution in the passing game. So I can't tell you that I think anybody, McLaurin, Dotson, or Samuel, is anything more than a desperate flex play, like a fringe wide receiver 4, because I think the total's low. None of those guys is catching more than 5 balls. Then you go to the backfield. It was awesome for Brian Robinson folk like me to see him score, except for it was a receiving touchdown and not a rushing touchdown, like the prop said. Now you get this matchup where Josh Jacobs didn't do a whole lot. I don't know that there's a single Commander I want to play. I don't think there's a single player in this game I want to play, and that's why it's the lowest total of Sunday.
Yeah, and then you go over to Jacksonville, or not Jacksonville, but Dallas, and that's where you got the Jets playing in a game that was going to be this great game. America's game. Everybody's watching at 425. And now it's Zach Wilson at the defense that just like looked like the 85 Bears on steroids last week. This one's going to be brutal. I mean, Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook. I mean, I guess they're just unsexy flex plays, just like Javonte Williams there, probably in that same range. I like Hall better than Cook there right now, James. And outside of that, Garrett Wilson, cross your fingers and hope for a touchdown, but I don't see much happening here for the Jets at all. The best starter for the Jets this week might be the Jets defense because that's their only chance here. But even then, against Dallas at home, that's not great.
It will be the Jets defense. I do agree. I still think Wilson is the best start, but the Jets defense is certainly in the conversation because of how good they are. And because of how good they are, along with what this matchup presents, I mean, you're going to start Lamb and you're going to start Pollard, and those are the only Cowboys you're starting.
Yeah. The line.
And their defense. I'm sorry.
When I started recording the line before the Aaron Rodgers injury, it was 3-49. It had moved before even the Rodgers injury to 3.5 and 45.5. And now today it sits at 9.5 and 40. Mm-hmm. So, Dallas, I definitely like them in this game. The Jets coming off an emotional win. Now they're on a short week and traveling here. So Dallas very much looking like they have a good shot at 2-0. Let's get to the primetime games. We'll start with the Sunday nighter. New England's hosting Miami. And James, in this contest, 2.5 for the Dolphins, 47's the total here. Let's start with your boy Tua and Tyreek. Can they keep it up here? What are you making of this Dolphins offense in this matchup as a whole?
They can keep it up. They're going to keep doing it until either Tua gets hurt again or Tyreek gets hurt, or they're just going to overload him with volume. We saw him doing it last year. There's no reason it's going to change. You're going to start Tyreek. You're going to start Waddle. You're going to start Tua. Absolutely. And by the way, this New England defense is better than what they saw last week at the Chargers, so you're not going to expect 200 or 400 from the various guys, but you're still starting them.
Mac Jones. Definitely in super flex play here, and
gotta be.
We talked a lot about these receivers and waiver wire. I'm really not excited about starting any of them here. If I had to start one, I'm with you right now. Kendrick Bourne probably would top the list. Hunter Henry, if you picked him up and looking at tight end, you give him a second chance. I'm not sweating Ramondre. I know a lot of his stuff came in checkdowns, but that's a tough Eagles defense. I think this one lightens up a little bit here, so starting him with confidence, and I'm intrigued. I think Zeke Elliott has enough of a role where – you know, he's going to stay involved and be on the fantasy radar at points here. So
he and Ramondre both caught like four balls, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, New England's a team that I think is going to be a little undervalued in fantasy in the weeks ahead. Let's get to the Monday night doubleheader. We start at the 7:15 Eastern kickoff. Carolina hosting New Orleans. The Saints a 3-point favorite, the total at 41. Carolina, I mean, their defense is decent here, but I think the Saints really should be the favorite in this contest. And they didn't do much on the ground, but I'm definitely going to Olave. You're firing him up and really feeling good about it this week. Derek Carr, not really overly excited about him, but I think Shaheed is another guy we didn't talk about on the waiver wire. Michael Thomas, you're not starting him yet, James, but you saw enough in week one where you're like, all right, maybe this wasn't a bad draft pick after all. Crossing your fingers, he can keep that up. So there's really not a ton of starters. I will say this, I'm cutting Taysom Hill. There's two tight ends on this roster. A dude played 8 snaps. If you're holding out hope as your tight end, that's a wasted roster spot to me, James.
You'll never know when to start them.
What about the Panthers?
I mean, I'm not sure that there's a ton of Panthers to start. Dan, I think you leave out Jamal Williams. He's a Saint that I would play, given the way the Falcons ran the ball on the Panthers last week. Per the Panthers, I mean, I don't know. You can turn to Hayden Hurst if you want.
I'm not, that's fine.
I'd rather start Jamal Williams than Miles Sanders from the Panthers side of the ball.
Fair enough.
Two matchups.
I mean, he's in play. I'm just not loving it. That's fair. On the Panthers side, there isn't. I mean, Hayden Hurst, you talked about him. Let's get to the final game, the second of the two. Pittsburgh's hosting Cleveland, -2 for the Browns, 40.5 for Pittsburgh. The home team Steelers, I think we already talked a lot about them. This is going to be a tough bounce back for them, a really tough matchup here. It's got to get a little bit better, but I can't really get behind starting anything. Najee Harris is in there as an RB option you're not loving, but starting and Pickens, wide receiver 3 flex play, Freiermuth, fringe tight end 1. And I mean, it's not looking great here, James. What do you think on the other side?
Well, you can't neglect Allen Robinson's role when Deontay Johnson went down. I'm not saying you want to start him, but
he's on the waiver wire report, but you're not putting him in your week 2 lineup, are you?
I wouldn't, because again, I talked about how good Cleveland's DBs looked against the Bengals receivers. So, no, quite frankly, I love the Browns' defense in this one, and maybe I like the Steelers' defense in this one. Nick Chubb for the Browns, that's all I'm starting. I'm giving Deshaun Watson a pass from last week because we're giving Joe Burrow a pass for that same game, field conditions and whatever. Deshaun Watson did not look good.
But he had the rushing floor. He had the rushing floor.
That's great. Did he? He ran for a touchdown. Now, are you going to rely on 16? Okay, that's 4 points. But he threw for about 140 yards. He was abysmal throwing the football. I'm not starting him this week at Pittsburgh on Monday night.
You're a hater. I don't love him this week either. But he is going
to. So I'm not ready to anoint him as any good just because he got the win. And I am not giving him anything for that rushing touchdown because he still didn't have a ton of rushing yards. And he didn't do anything with the passing to give you. Okay, he got you 4 points rushing. I'm repeating myself, but you get my idea.
Yes,
he did not look like a good quarterback.
It's time to wrap it up, my friend. It's been an interesting discussion. Week 2 is going to be filled with some fun. Be sure to check in with James and I. We'll be back Saturday morning live. You can get us 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern each week on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio with Fantastic's Insider Football. Subscribe to the podcast so you can keep up with us here each week during the season. as we get you ready with those lineups and every waiver wire setup. James, enjoy the games this week, my friend. Hopefully we're back to talk about some more victories and a few less injuries. A few less injuries next week.
Amen, brother. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to talking to you Saturday and Sunday. Sunday.
There you have it. Until next time, for James Adams, I'm Dan Claskins. Thanks for listening to the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast.